Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying True Christianity, Bible Bits from 1 John. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, the love flow. Do you ever wonder why there's no unity in the church? Heart disease. And spiritual heart disease continues because the symptoms are ignored. Just look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 all the way down to verse 13. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. The key to this passage is verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not look, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." A person can attend church regularly, study the Bible, pray regularly, give regularly, and have private devotions regularly. Others may use this person as an example of faithfulness and overlook the heart disease within. Why? Because we are programmed to view the outside. A church can have heart problems like bitterness, which always results in a lack of unity. Why? Impeded love movement. It spreads outward like concentric circles in the church, to the home, to the workplace, to society. Bitterness is like a continually corrupting disease. The wake just keeps growing. However, a proper diagnosis can make a significant difference, switching focus from the container to the contents. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother who has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This passage deals with love flow in the body. love expressed to our brother and neighbor in Christ is argued and it's urged from two perspectives. First, love expressed is to be consistent with our profession of faith. Verse 20, we profess to love God. That is the root of religion. His name, his house, his worship. We should love our brothers for his sake. There are parallel arguments found in verses 1:6 and 2:4. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's 1:6. 1 John 2:4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we don't love our brothers, we make our profession to God, to love God, a lie, and hates his brother. The verb tense in the Greek of hates is present active subjunctive, which expresses and keeps on hating. This is the essence of bitterness. Notice verses 2:9 and 3:15. 1 John 2:9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. 1 John 3:16. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. This person doesn't really love God. Why? Natural process is to love what is seen, not what is not seen. The eye affects the heart. Things the eye catches will catch the heart, and things the eye does not catch will not catch the heart. John is blunt and to the point. He's a liar. Verse 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What makes God incomprehensible to us is that he is invisible to our sight. The Christian manifests Christ's invisibility. Someone said, you are the expression of God that others see. How can the hater of a visible image of God even pretend to love the unseen original, God Almighty himself? Do you profess to love God? Do you love me? Do you profess to love God? Do you love the believer who offended you? If you don't love another Christian, you don't really love God. It's that simple. There is no relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter if you say there is one. The proof is in the life. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are either not a Christian or you're seriously backslidden. There is certainly no spiritual growth. Is there anyone at all you cannot relate to completely open with no hindrances? Full forgiveness is releasing that person and in your heart relating to him as if no offense ever happened. And forgiveness is not dependent on being asked. Second, love expressed is to be consistent with the law of God. Verse 21, and the commandment we have is from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28, down to verse 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Very well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offering and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. God has revealed his image in both creation and grace. He wants our love to be expressed properly. We must love God totally with our being and others in him. Why? Neighbors are created in his image, and believers are recreated in his Son. God is interested in them as well as us. It becomes the natural obligation for us to love others unconditionally. John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Therefore," 1 John 4:20 again, "if someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" What can we do? Well, deal with our guilt and bitterness. Ask forgiveness from every person you've offended. Fully forgive every person who has offended you. If you're not willing, you don't love God. Someone must take the first step. Jesus did with us. Luke 9:23. "And then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Consider Absalom's revenge after his sister's rape. He killed Amnon, overthrew his father, and was judged with death. It was all about bitterness. Against who? King David, his father. Listen, this is happening today in families, churches, businesses, and in society as a whole, attempting to get our own revenge. The result is destruction and ultimately God's judgment. You're either part of the problem or the solution. You have a great day.